Hey, good morning. It's great to be here again this Sunday. Easter has just gone so quickly. It's been a week now. But I just want us to know that these are changing times. Normally around this time, the next thing that the whole world is looking for is when is the next holiday coming, when is the next cruise coming. Hey, it is not like that anymore. We are in lockdown. So I just want to welcome you today. Today is my prayer that I will be able to encourage you and also focus your mind a little bit so that you'll be blessed in a powerful, powerful way. Today my aim is to appeal to the inner hearts and minds of those who call yourself Christians and Christ's followers in these changing times to wake up and to let your heart be stirred and walk in supernatural encounters. And secondly, my objective is to speak to you who don't know Jesus Christ at all, or those of you who are far from God, that you put your trust in Jesus Christ, in that when all else fails and crumbles, Jesus Christ will be there for you. So today I want to talk on the subject changing times. Changing times. The current climate are changing times. Life is not normal anymore and to remain this way for a little while. I just want you to know that the coronavirus pandemic should remind us of this changing times. And as things are not normal, I mean, in changing times, one has to pause and reflect on what it means for us right now and what life is all about. Have you thought? Have you paused? Have you reflected? Have you just thought about your life in the past month and probably gone beyond and ask yourself, what was I doing before? What was priority for me before? Now, what it is that is important to me right now, where I am and going forward, what should be most important right now? You can't put your trust in the things. You cannot put your trust in the things that you thought were priority and most important anymore because of these changing times. All our conversation and discussions are focused on what has happened in the world with COVID-19 and coronavirus and what is happening to humanity. Many people are dying, and these things dominate our conversations. 9 out of 10 of our conversations is dominated by that. 9 out of 10 of the social media troll, even WhatsApp troll, is dominated by that. I mean, some people are talking about cure, some people are talking about what to do to be safe, and some people are talking about how many people are dying and what to do. Some people are also blaming people. In changing times, our minds and our conversations should rather focus on something that is also going around us, which needs our attention. And what has been going around, even in times like this, is the move of God. God is moving. Supernatural power of God is at work. The Holy Spirit is moving. But the question is, do you know that He's moving? Do you feel, do you know where He's going that you can follow? So to do that, today I've chosen a passage from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. We'll look at it from the New International Version of the Bible, UK version of the Bible, and I want us to read. So if you've got it with you, take your Bible and read with me. NIV version of the Bible, Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. It reads, "Now that same day, two of them," that's the disciples, "were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him." That means they did not see because they were focused on what they were talking about and the issue that was important to them at the time. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. one of them named Cleopas asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that has happened there in these days? Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." He said to them, meaning Jesus, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared, literally vanished from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is a powerful reading, and I'd like you to go back and read it at your own pace and probably more clearly with the Bible versions that you are comfortable with. I read from the New International Version, Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. And I just want to bring you to a point that we have to think and think again. We see from this reading that the prevailing condition at the time was similar to where we are right now. Death, hope shattered, lockdown, economic life put on hold, religious activity suspended, and the whole atmosphere was sad. And this is very similar to where you and me are right now. We feel this, that we feel and even smell death for some of you who probably work in the hospitals or care homes or have seen a loved one die in front of you. And we see that our shops are closed, our offices are closed, economic activity just not working. Lockdown, we don't go out like we used to do that. Everything is on hold. Churches are closed, and therefore things are suspended. The atmosphere has changed. We are in changing times. We can see that, but at the same time that life appeared on hold, darkness fell. During daytime, during the time of Jesus Christ, darkness fell. Great darkness fell when it was daytime, when he hung on the cross. God reminding us that he is not interested in religion, but to open the way for everyone to have a supernatural encounter with him. So that was a supernatural encounter, something that not naturally happening, something extraordinary, out of the ordinary. That is supernatural. God was revealing that, look, all about Christ, his death and resurrection is about supernatural activity that he wants us to understand. And not only that darkness fell and the curtain in the temple torn into two, but the graves were also open, and people saw their loved ones who had died. Christ himself rose from the dead, and these were not normal occurrences. These were supernatural occurrences. And I want you to think about it that way. Maybe you think about it like, oh yeah, it happened. Oh yeah, it happened. Oh yeah, it happened. Yes, it did. But then these were things which are out of the ordinary. They were supernatural things. Something is happening here. And something is flowing in the spirit realm that we must pay attention to. We must discern the direction of the Holy Spirit, where he's moving in our lives, churches, and the entire world, so that we will flow with it. Yes, in times like this, as everything, as I've described to you, just as like the time of Jesus Christ, just as like, I mean, Cleopas and the friend going to Emmaus, the condition is so similar. But then God is still moving. And what you and me need to begin to discern is that, where is God in this? Where is God in this? I mean, thankfully or probably coincidentally, I don't hear people blaming God that, oh God, why have you brought coronavirus? This time they're blaming China. This time they're blaming XYZ. I mean, so be it. But then we don't know where it's coming from. We don't know who's causing this. But I just want you to understand that in times like this, God is still moving. The Holy Spirit is flowing. And you have to find out where and which direction the Holy Spirit is flowing to. Some encounters with God are sovereign, my brothers and sisters, while others can be initiated by us. And the Lord responds when we seek him from our heart. You see, if you read from Luke chapter 24, verse 15 and 16, you realize that as Cleopas and the friend were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, it says suddenly Jesus came to walk along with them. That was a supernatural encounter. Someone who is dead that everybody knew. And people have heard that he's risen. And then suddenly he come along and walk with them. That is another supernatural encounter that people had. So I'm reminding you that in the midst of lockdown, in the midst of the sadness, in the midst of the quietness, in the midst of slowdown of economic activity, in the midst of sometimes nothingness and the death, God is moving. And this supernatural activity that Jesus Christ coming along to walk with them was sovereign. And sometimes it is also not only sovereign, but it can be initiated by us. If you read verse 28 and 29 of Luke chapter 24, you saw that as they walked with Jesus Christ, they got to a point that they said, you know what, it's getting dark, my friend. You cannot continue to where you are going. I want you to come to me. So they initiated it. And when Jesus Christ went to them in their home, there was another supernatural encounter. And I want to remind you that not only did Jesus Christ even appear to them, but he also opened the scripture to them. There was deep revelation of the word of God. So around this time that you and me are at home and reflecting about life, I want you to catch a deep revelation of God. You have to initiate these things. If you're not reading the Bible, you don't get those revelations. If you're not praying, you won't get those revelations. If you are not focusing and thinking about God, you don't get those revelations. Just like all your efforts are focused on COVID-19 and coronavirus, you seem to be getting all the answers and the solutions to coronavirus. Yes, it is good that you are getting some solutions, but I want you to know that when you focus, likewise, when you focus on God, you will get deep revelations from him because he will come alongside with you. So if we set aside all religious conformity, all customs and traditions, and if we desire more of the Spirit of God, he will give us supernatural encounters. That is the question. So you see that, I mean, Cleopas and the friend, they wanted more. They wanted more. And he will give us supernatural encounters. So as they wanted more, he went to their home. And guess what? He took the bread, and as he broke it, and as he gave thanks, guess what? Their eyes were opened, and they saw that this is Jesus Christ, whom has resurrected from the dead. We can't go back after this lockdown to life as if nothing has happened. We cannot go back. And these people, in the midst of what was going on, they could not go back as if nothing has happened. Something happened in the nothingness. Something happened in the quietness. Something happened in the confusion. Something happened in the discussions and the thought and the focus of what was going on. Something happened. You see, I just want to also encourage that hunger and thirst for His presence, meaning the presence of God and His Holy Spirit, are signs of spiritual well-being while demonstrating our humbleness before Him. That means that we say, God, you know what? We want to humble ourselves to know that we cannot continue contain our destiny or direct our destiny. We've got to be humble enough to know that the money we are chasing, though it's good to have money, is not a solution. We've got to be humble enough to know that all that you are amassing for the future, if today you fall ill and you are dying and you are in intensive care, it means nothing. It will amount to nothing. We have to be humble enough to say that, look, God, all the focus that we put either in our education, all these things are good in our children. They are beautiful. They are wonderful. All the things that we've put our lives in, we've put in our marriage, that is good, to build a good home and a good marriage. All these things are good. Maybe all the focus that we've had, oh God, let me have that good car. Yes, great, great to have that. All that good job, great to have that. All that wonderful holidays, great to have all those things. But we have to come to that point and be humble to know these things are nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Now I'd like to read Luke chapter 24, verse 30 to 33. We've read it before, but I want to bring that to your mind because I want us to see a few things there. Here, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, that they found the 11 and those with them assembled there. I want you to hold on to this small passage because there's something deep in there that I want you to understand. Effectively, they were saying, did not something move in us? Wasn't something flowing through us as he talked through 750 years of scripture, giving us deep revelation? Each walkthrough was like a wave of the Spirit flowing through us, bringing new revelation of God and of Christ. Did not something move in us? Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us? There was a moving, there was a flowing, there was a revelation, there was a wave and wave and wave of new revelation. Imagine somebody taking you through 750 years of Bible story and Bible history, pointing to the Messiah. Each one was a deep revelation. And that is something that we should aspire for in times like this. God can reveal thousands and thousands of years of revelation about Jesus Christ. That is what they were alluding to. So to flow with the river of the Spirit, we must understand His direction and be ready to change. We've got to be ready to change. We cannot and we must not go back and wait. I can't wait for church to start again. I can't wait for work to start again and quickly run to your desk and do the same thing. You got to go back and change person. I was sharing with some folks that I was praying with last night on the internet, and I was saying that, you know what, anytime there's catastrophe, anytime there was something different, anytime something affects the world and affects events remarkably like this, I mean, disease and virus is affecting us, there's always a change. Even during the Second World War, after that, life did not go back to be the same. Things change. In our country here, in our kingdom, we rebuilt. In our country, in our kingdom, we started the NHS that we talk so much and so religiously about. Many things were different. We shaped our communities. We shaped our social life. So why do you want to go back? Why do you want to go back and do the same thing over and over again? And you who is a Christian, why do you want to go back and be that autopilot Christian all over again? Why can't you look to Jesus and say, you know what, I am going to go back, I haven't had an encounter with Jesus Christ, because these are changing times. Today, we want to understand that as we flow with the river of the Spirit, we want to understand and be ready to change. Cleopas and friend were going to Emmaus, but an encounter with Jesus Christ made them change direction and go to Jerusalem. But these were the guys who urged Jesus to stay with them because it was getting dark. How come now that they are in the much darker hours of the night, got up and returned at once to Jerusalem? Ask that question, because at the time they said, Jesus, it is too dark. Come and stay with us. That means you cannot continue the journey again. Probably it's not safe. And then after he spent some time with them, they suddenly got up at once and changed their direction from Emmaus and went to Jerusalem. So I just want you to know that they recognized the flow and the direction of the Holy Spirit. They recognized that they've had a divine encounter. So today I want to encourage you, as you are sitting down in your home and as you are waiting for the lockdown to finish or to be lifted, you have to begin to think about where the Spirit of God is flowing, where the new revelation is coming. And when you have a new revelation is coming, flow with it and let it change your life and change direction. That means that you have to change. You got to change. You got to think about what you want to do. That is what we are trying to allude to right now. It is very important that we get to this. People who are hungry and thirsty for God leave their convenience and safety behind in order to seek more of God. You see, it was convenient for them to sleep in the comfort of Emmaus. It was safe for them to sleep there, but they left that convenience behind and the safety behind, and they walked back to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit always responds to the need of those who are hungry and thirsty for him. The people were hungry, they were thirsty to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. Remember, God cannot take you beyond the level of your contentment or convenience. If you are content or comfortable with what you have already seen of God, with what you know and have received from him, you will not be able to see, know, or receive more from him. I mean, I've met a few people in my life who tell me, I'm happy where I am. I have my house, I have my car, I have my family, I have my job, I have my pension to come. I am fine. You cannot be fine, my brother, my sister. In this climate, you cannot be fine. It's been proven that many people in situations like I have just described, when they are faced with death, they realize, oh no, what a hopeless situation. So don't be content with what you have. There is more to life than what I have just described to you. And therefore, if you are a Christian, don't be content with where you are. If you don't know God, don't be content with that. I mean, after all this while, you're sitting here and you're probably aimless, doing nothing, not knowing what to do. Some of you are stressing. Some of you are worried about your business, your jobs, and your income. Why go back to the same? Why don't you think about something else in addition to what you think you want to go to? This is the time I want to recommend to you to be with Jesus Christ. Without hunger for God, you cannot move from where you are to where you need to go. Cleopas and the friend were hungry for God, and they were able to move from where they were and go to where they need to be. And where they need to be is to be where the apostles were, where the disciples, other disciples were. That's Jerusalem. Because if you are not hungry for God, the outcome is stagnation and irrelevance is what awaits you. You become stagnant. Because if the Holy Spirit is like a river, as I'm describing, and it's not moving in your life in times like this, if you are not moving on, if you are not becoming more mature, if you're not receiving more revelation, if you're not having supernatural encounters with God and knowing what God wants you to do after this coronavirus, if you are not seeking God's face about your job, your marriage, your situation, your business, and you are only just going to walk into it, you are missing something. there's stagnation, and you will be irrelevant. You go back and you see that, you know what, the things that you've done all this while sound to be very, very, very different. So nothing is happening, Christian, is what I will call you. Nothing is happening, Christian, and powerless because there's no spiritual vitality. And for some of you, there has never been any spiritual vitality in you. You've never thought about Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. You've never thought about Jesus Christ as someone who will direct you and who will help you. You have never thought about him in that sense. A crisis always captures our attention, prompting us to seek God. You must come out of this crisis stronger, more aware of God and His supernatural activity so that you will flow with it. All that we have been chasing in life and in this world will come to nothing when faced with the reality of death. I am sure our Prime Minister Boris Johnson, while he was in intensive care, was not thinking of his net worth. Yes, was not thinking about all the money that he's got from his press activities, from his prime ministerial jobs, or from his investment. He wasn't thinking about it at all, that is net worth. He wasn't thinking about the power that he carried or the influence, but he was thinking about survival and living. In fact, he was happy to let somebody take that power and the influence because at that time it was not useful to him, it was useless to him. By the way, I just want you to understand that I'm not saying this to let you feel that I'm better than him. No. In fact, I was praying for our Prime Minister Boris Johnson daily, literally daily, to live and not die. And thank God he's alive today. And I want to also say this, that he will recover fully, but with time he will recover and lead our nation again. In the same way, we need something more than the world is offering us. We need Jesus and his supernatural presence, Asclepius and his friend encountered. And to finish this message, I want to read a passage that Jesus Christ himself read for us just before he was about to die. That is from John chapter 7, verse 37 to 42. He says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing these words, some of the people said, surely this man is a prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? You see here, people were still arguing. They were arguing about the Messiah when he is talking about people receiving the Holy Spirit, accepting him, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, for the Spirit to flow in them and direct them in their lives, as we're arguing, to do. This is not a time for argument, for you have been wrong all this while about Jesus, yet the truth is staring you in the face. Many people have argued about Jesus Christ. Oh, he's irrelevant, he's this, he's from Galilee, he's from Bethlehem, he's from this, and they believe that he doesn't even exist, that we Christians are hallucinating. But I just want you to understand that this is not a time for argument. They were wrong all this while. Galilee was Jesus' base. He did not come from Galilee. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. So he fulfilled scripture as these people were saying. So why were they arguing? They were wrong. So this is not a time for you to argue anymore. This is a time for you to jump into the river of the Spirit and your life will begin to flow toward the heart of God again. This is the time to jump so that your heart will begin to flow from with the river of God again. In conclusion, I will also say this. I encourage and challenge you to seek more of God than ever before, to search after him beyond all that you have previously seen and known of him. And I mean, for some of you who don't know God, I just want you to know that we cannot argue no more. This is not a time for argument. You can sit down and argue until the cock crow that coronavirus came from China, that coronavirus is due to this and due to that. I mean, we are waiting for vaccination. I tell you what, vaccination will not solve anything. We have to wait for Christ and his living power that will save us. It's good to live than to die. And I just want you to know that we cannot continue to argue about the faith or Jesus Christ or Christianity, because death is a wasted life, but resurrection is a living hope. So I recommend it to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, I dare you that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I would like to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that your spirit will move in the life of anyone who today want to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Anyone who want a living hope. Anyone who do not want to die and waste his life. For we know that God, he did not want us to die. He want us to enjoy life. Right now we come to you and we ask you to forgive us. We realize and recognize and accept that we are sinners. I accept that too, that we are sinners. We speak against you. We do things against you. We do the things that does not glorify your holy name. Our lives does not glorify you in any way. Some of us don't even think or recognize you as anything. And these things have made us become far away from you. We ask you to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We accept that he went to the cross to die and to save us. And we ask you, Jesus Christ, to accept us and bring us to yourself. Come and fill us with your Holy Spirit and make us a new being. I thank you for this privilege that I have today to accept Jesus Christ into my life. I know today that if I were to die, when I open my eyes, I'll be with the Lord. Amen. Now, I also want to, appeal to you who really, really says you're a child of God and a Christian. I dare you to long for more supernatural encounters with the living God and the Holy Spirit, to be empowered, to be activated and commissioned for the purpose of doing all that Jesus did on this earth and more. Remember, these disciples were saying he was a prophet, so you got to be able to move in the prophetic. They were saying that he was a man who was powerful in word. You got to know the word of God and be powerful. He was also indeed. That means you have to do the works of God. God began to heal the sick, lay your hands on the sick. Believe in God by faith and he will work with you and he will back you up. And he was all this before God and before people. So today I will end this by reading one more Bible passage for you, and that will be the end of my preach today. It's gone on a little bit today, but I thank God for this, that Psalm 51 verse 10 and 12, it says this: create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your willing and generous spirit. God is willing, God is generous, and he said that he wanted to give you his Holy Spirit to move in your life, to make you a living being again, to make you a man or woman who is supernatural again. When David wrote this psalm, he has messed up so much, but David came to understand that all his victories in war was as a result of God being with him. So all your victories in life after this coronavirus, when you go back to your work and your normal life, should be as a result of God who is with you. David was smart. He understood that when God takes away his Holy Spirit from him, he was done. And today, say with me that created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a generous spirit. Hey, God bless you for listening to me. Hey, God be with you this week. God keep you safe, you and your household. God protect you. And I pray that if you are sick, I command and I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you will be healed according to the resurrected Christ. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray the peace of God to be in your home. I pray the peace of God to be in your life. And I pray that God will open your eyes and open your heart so that you have divine encounters with Him. God bless you. Amen.